One ball, two strikes to J.D. Martinez. The pitch swung on, lined up the middle, and there is a leaping grab by Stott. Oh, wow, what a play by Bryson Stott. That ball was bound for center field, and Bryson takes a hit away.
Wow.
Was a great catch. So W.I. makes up for the fact that two balls like went through his glove the previous game. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show will be here at 6 p.m. tonight, as is every Monday, with myself, Brandon Graham, Howard Eskin at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. Joining us now, currently part of the radio broadcast team, that is one Tom McCarthy. What's up, T-Mac?
Mike, what's going on, man? How are you guys?
We're great.
T-Mac, what's up, brother?
Today. It must be pretty cool for you to look over at the visiting broadcast booth while you're doing the Phillies broadcast to see your son over there be part of the Mets one as well.
Well, Spike, you know Patrick as well as anybody. I mean, it's incredible to see him sort of interact with people. And the job that he's doing, I mean, he's doing a great job, obviously, from an interview standpoint, but also from a play-by-play standpoint. But, you know, this game has meant so much to me and my family over the years that to have him be able to do what he's doing right now is incredible. I mean, it's hard to match it on a lot of levels. You know, I've had a lot of pride watching my one son play minor league baseball for all these years. But to watch Patrick do what he's doing, it's pretty incredible. I mean, it's gratifying, partly because of how I see him act with other people, where I can see a little of, obviously, me, but also my dad in him, which I really like. I like that part of it more than anything else.
Now, did you guys embrace, like, Liam and Nick yesterday when the Phils walked it off or
not? No, but I did give him a beer at the end of the game. I said, here you go, buddy. And a chicken sandwich because he was starving. So I guess it's the same type of thing. It's just we do it a little differently in the McCarthy house.
You know, for Phils, you know, we all listen to you on TV. Doing radio, I'm curious about your approach to doing baseball on the radio as opposed to baseball on television.
Well, so I'm a radio guy by heart, but I will say that it does take me some time to get used to getting back to doing radio. Like the last couple of games, I found myself in some ways, you know, tongue-tied in certain ways, but also extremely invigorated in other ways because I know what I am as a person. I've learned to be a TV guy, but in reality, I'm trained as a radio person. And you guys all know this. When I was with the Mets, I never thought I would leave because I was a radio guy and I was doing 9 innings of Mets radio. And when David Montgomery asked me to come back to do TV, I'm like, I don't want to do TV. And for the first 2 or 3 years, I think I was doing radio on TV, quite frankly. I was talking way too much. And now I think it's the other way around where I've got to figure out a different tempo, a different, you know, sort of pace. But I like that part of it. Like I told Scott, Kevin, and Larry, I listened to the last 3 innings this morning on Archive. I listened to our last 3 innings, and I listened to the Mets' last 3 innings. And I told them how great it was, how they captured everything. But I did it more because I felt like I need to be up to their level of these games, even though I'm only doing 2 innings. And I like that part of it. I like the fact that I'm still figuring things out at 56 years old, that it's not all cut and dry. I like the fact that I'm learning again all over again.
What's it like for you, or what's it like for an announcer to be in that moment with the game, with the audience, and try to capture that moment and describe it for everybody? When there's radio, obviously we can't see it, so you're like our eyes for us. But I'm wondering, you know, Bryce hitting that 2-run homer and then Castellanos hitting that homer. I'm wondering, what's that like for the announcers?
It's unbelievable. Like you're already up at a high with Bryce hitting it, right? And you're trying to let the crowd breathe. But think about it. It was probably 10, 12 seconds between the two at-bats. Because Nick swung it the first pitch.
Yep.
And then you're like, whoa, I got to get back up again. I don't know. It's artistry in some ways. you know, at that point, I was listening to the TV, and I thought Adam Amin actually called them very well. I mean, I guess I was looking at that. Then I went back and listened to Scott and how great he called it. And I went back and listened to the Mets broadcast and listened to how they called it, which was good too. I mean, again, it's sort of painting the picture. It's like an artist painting something. I know it sounds strange, but that's how you try to do it. It doesn't always work out that great. But yeah, I envy all these guys that are doing these postseason games. You know, I wish I was doing more. Grateful for what I'm doing, but man, I'm so juiced that they get a chance to do it. Quite frankly,
Tom McCarthy with us. So yesterday's win, I can't tell if it feels more like relief that something is settled, or whether we sort of have some sort of momentum now and it's building. What was your sense after the game, as to which side of that you would lean toward?
Spike, I actually felt both, quite frankly. I did. I felt relief, but also momentum, because, you know, I believe that Bryce is one of the greatest athletes we've had because of the moments in this city and how he embraces it. And I think he took whatever the huge helium balloon is, and he popped it with that home run, and we're all like, all right, we're good. We're good now, guys. Everything's fine. And then when they won, they're like, all right, well, this is going to be over in two more games. You know, something like that. That's the feeling I have right now. I didn't have that feeling after game one and for the first five innings of game two. I sat there thinking, okay, we might be in a little bit of trouble here. I don't have that feeling anymore. And, you know, I think it's both. I really do. I think it's, you know, I think that it's, we've kind of exhaled, and now we have the momentum moving forward.
So Nola goes in game three in enemy territory. Nola can give us great performances, but we all sort of had this thing in the back of our mind that's like, oh, no, like, which Nola are we going to get? What is your outlook on Nola in game three?
Well, unobjectively, I mean, he is one of my favorite people and players. So I always expect greatness from him. And when he doesn't achieve it, I have to sort of reconcile with my own self. So I'm going in expecting greatness. I was talking to him yesterday, and I wish that in everything that I've had in my life where there's been pressure, that I was like him. I mean, Ike, you probably played with guys that all of a sudden, you're like, how do they slow it down like that? That's how he is. He slows it down to a point where, you know, I don't know how people do it, quite frankly. And that's how he was yesterday. So I go in maybe unobjectively thinking greatness from him, and that's how I feel about this game coming up tomorrow night.
Well, the one thing I know with Nola, and we've learned this by watching him his entire career, we've watched him in the postseason, he won't be afraid of tomorrow. He knows what's
won't
at stake.
Afraid.
Yeah, he
nope.
knows what's at stake. We got a chance to recapture the series and still a game up there. And we have momentum going now. I said this earlier, T-Mac, with the offense. It feels like the offense broke the seal on figuring out how to get back to hitting the ball, making good contact, and playing good baseball. I just felt like they, for a game and nearly a half, we were just lost at the plate as an offense. And I think those last few innings yesterday can really be momentum that we carry for the next three or four games.
I would agree with that, Ike. I think it's a carryover from last year, and I think self-doubt crept in after game one based on what happened with the Diamondbacks last year. And I believe that that home run by Harper, even though they fell behind again because of Nimmo's home run, I believe that that changed things. They're like, okay, we're fine. Like, we're fine. Now, do they have ruts where they go into this where they don't hit? Absolutely they do. Is it exasperating? It is. But I don't think we're at that point right now. I think we're at a different point. I'm with you that they've kind of broken the seal. And it will be better moving forward tomorrow.
T-Mac, were you surprised that Rob Thompson benched Alec Bohm yesterday? I mean, this is something that's been kind of out of his character. Did you like the move by Rob Thompson yesterday to sit down Alec Bohm?
So, Jack, I anticipated something was going to happen just based on our conversations. Part of it, I didn't know if he would do that, but I'm not surprised only because I know how Rob is about certain things, and I think he gives a lot of latitude to guys, and I think he felt like that latitude was that he needed to bring it back. So I guess I was surprised he benched him at that point. I thought he was going to take him out of the game the day before. That was my thought. When he slammed his helmet down, I'm like, he's out of the game. Like, that was my thought. So I think I was surprised he took him out yesterday for the game. But I'm not surprised that there weren't consequences based on what he felt that Alec was doing at the plate and it, really personality-wise. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But
it does.
I think it does. I find Rob Thompson and his style to be really interesting to examine as the guy who trusts his guys, lets them do their thing, and when he chooses to be the guy who benches somebody or decides to start Chris Sanchez in game two, all those things, I'll never be able to get into his head, but I would love to know what is the breaking point and what are those things and when are the situations when he actually decides to do things like that.
Yeah, he definitely gives more latitude. I will say, Spike, he is, to me, a lot like Joe Torre was with the Yankees. Now, Joe was more of a, probably even more of a player's manager than Rob is. But I do think that that's where a lot of his style comes from. In fact, Joe and I were talking about this yesterday because he was at the game. I think it's a lot like him. You know what I mean? Like they'll give you an inch, they might give you a foot, but man, they won't give you a yard.
Nope.
But you'll be surprised when that yard is pulled back, honestly.
Well, Joe Torre, he batted A-Rod eighth in the 06 ALCS.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad he did it from the standpoint of like some kind of consequences for something that he doesn't like rather than just letting it slide. T-Mac, tomorrow, let's say they have a 3-2 lead in the seventh. Nimmo is a key out that you want in that inning. Are you going back to Strom or are you going to Alvarado?
So I don't know why Alvarado was up yesterday and then didn't pitch. I am still going back to Strom because I think he got us here. And I know that there's probably a little leaking going on right now, but I still think that he relies on him. The seventh inning, maybe it's Alvarado, but I think it was the eighth inning. I still think it's Strom. I don't think he's going to deviate from his guys, even though they've been a little, let's say, bruised in these first two games, to say it lightly. I still think he's going to stay loyal to these guys.
Well, T-Mac, we appreciate your time today. And also, I'm glad that Pat is doing so well with the Mets broadcast, but would like to send him home. would like to free up his weekend this coming weekend. Would be nice.
Listen,
I'm sure he could visit the family.
Send him to Cancun.
Clean the house, yada, yada, yada.
He's got plenty of breweries to visit with Jack if he has to.
That's right.
I've got plenty of work for him to do down in Ocean City if he's looking for something to do.
Stars offseason a little early.
Yeah, we wouldn't mind.
He's young. He's got a lot of left to look forward
to.
Yes. I would like to have a little bit more baseball in my life.
Yeah, tell him to stop being so selfish. So, all right, T-Mac, we appreciate you, man.
Appreciate
you for
it, brother.
So, Aaron Nola did talk about being the third starter rather than the second starter. Here's what he had to say.
Aaron, what was your reaction when Rob told you, hey, you're going to go game three? Were you surprised at all by that? And, like, kind of maybe do you relish getting the ball here on the road, in front of a pretty hostile fan base?
Yeah, I was fine with it. Yeah, I mean, was super happy for Sanchi to be able to pitch at home. I mean, it's incredible to pitch at home, obviously. And his first start in postseason, which was awesome. I thought he threw the ball really good. But yeah, I mean, whatever I can do to try to contribute and try to put the team in the best chance to win in a playoff game, whether it's home or road, I was fine with. This is a pretty cool place to play, pretty cool place to pitch. I pitched here quite a few times, and first time in the postseason. So definitely looking forward to it.
Team guy?
That's the mentality you need.
Aaron Nola, team guy, yep.
Yeah, you need that mentality. Obviously, we're happy, considering what happened with game one, that the decision to go to Sanchez yesterday worked out. Mm-hmm. I thought he had a very good outing yesterday for it to be his first start here at home in the postseason. And now you got the series tied up with your second-best pitcher, who's had ace in his past, on the road. You'd rather have Aaron Nola on the road in a place where he's comfortable pitching, where he has no problem. He's the seasoned vet. Yeah, this is the position you want to be in.
Yep, absolutely. Why don't you tell him what you're going to tell him, Mike?
Oh, man, I'm telling you a little bit about our baseball team now. They're chasing a championship ring, and you can make that special someone feel like a world champion every day with a diamond engagement ring from Mark's Jewelers. Now, Mark's is located minutes from everywhere. Has locations in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and their flagship store is in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. Now, see why Mark's will be your first and last stop for engagement rings and with no Philly sales tax. Check them out online at marks-jewelers.com and make sure you tell them Ike Reese sent you.
215-592-9494. Tom in Vancouver, you're on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Tom?
I'm not asking that question. That was a joke.
All right, okay.
Come on, wise guy.
Yeah.
All right, look, Jack, I got to say, man, you really did a great job last week. You went from being the big coward in the foxhole, hiding behind, as you typically do, Ike, and, you know, Spike was
just
even
like the AJ
out
interview.
With his head up, but not you. And you were able to bring it up to game day and being enthusiastic about it and all the rest of it. Of course, game one happened. You know,
yes.
And it is really tough to come back, I think, and I'm not a host, obviously, but for the post-game show after game one and then the pre-game show and being excited and bringing the energy. And
yeah, they were going to win game two. I felt that as, even when they lost and I know the hopes were down and we had our concerns, I felt like they were going to win game two. I trust this baseball team. Mm.
You know, I felt optimistic once the game started, and I just had a feeling that in probably around six or seven, once we started getting a tired Mets pitcher, that we were going to start seeing some action. And I'm not saying I can predict everything, otherwise I'd be betting.
Well, it seems like everyone predicted the Harper home run. I mean, Estevez is talking about he predicted it. You know, like everyone felt it coming. We were all on the same page, Tom.
And I have to say that I heard you on before game one, mind you, not game two. But it was nice to have your voice there. Like I really like it, even though it's baseball. I thought you did a fantastic pregame. I thought.
Well, appreciate it, even though it's baseball.
Even though it's baseball.
Yeah, yeah, you play football.
Well,
yeah,
you know about sport. You know, I know there was an earlier
wait for his Flyers coverage.
How, you know,
that shows real depth.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm quite on board with the earlier caller who's saying that Ike, you're a baseball genius, but you are absolutely fantastic on the radio, and I do love hearing you, regardless of what sport you're talking about. You just have such
appreciate
a wonderful
it,
way of presenting
right.
yourself.
What about Spike? Do you like Spike's performance this weekend?
Yeah, buddy, I was on yesterday. I didn't hear one word out of you.
But I think that you are starting to really come into your own as the host of this show.
AKA, I didn't like you at first, but I like you now.
I get a lot of those. I get a lot of didn't like you at first things.
I'm confident enough. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but I'm confident enough about this that I actually have looked into flying into Philadelphia next week if the Phillies can wrap this up, and if the Dodgers happen to be in, then I could potentially make that trip. So we'll see how that goes.
Tom, I've never quite noticed how thick your Canadian accent is. Yeah, there's a lot of oots and abouts there with you.
You're Canadian.
Yeah, well, I just never noticed it before.
Well, usually, I don't know. I guess usually I'm able to channel a bit of the American side of things. But no, it was coming out. It was coming out today.
Yesterday in the pregame show, I made some quips at Canada because Rob Thompson, I thought, finally turned into an American yesterday by benching someone. Did you agree with that assessment?
Showed a little guts.
Showed a little gumption.
Yeah, well, there's one thing that I learned in history class was that in World War One, the Canadians were the most feared soldiers because they did not take any prisoners. There was no Geneva Conventions at the time, and it was terrifying for the Germans having them come. So, and I just like to say, okay, behind those niceties and all the rest of it, you've got a fierce ally in Canada.
Yeah, love you, Tom. Just
yeah,
messing with you.
Thank you for the call, Tom. He didn't like me either. That's all right.
Well, so
growing on him.
The funny part about Tom, so he came for the World Series 2 years ago.
Yeah.
First trip ever to Philadelphia, and he stayed basically at the bottom of an abandoned motel.
Yeah, he was staying in somebody's basement, about to get killed.
Yeah. We weren't sure he was allowed for food or water.
Yep.
It was not his great first experience. He lost his luggage, I believe. Yeah.
Welcome to Philly, Tom.
I basically told him it was equivalent to you've seen the movie Ransom.
Yes.
With Mel Gibson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Give me back my son.
Yeah, he was the kid in the basement.
Yeah.
They kept down there.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then it was the game he was there for game five. They lost.
Yeah.
And I think he's expecting me to be like talkative.
Oh, no.
And, like, I walked away. And yeah. I felt bad. I did feel bad. I was nice to him the next time I saw him. But, like,
yeah, Jack. Come on, man.
Yeah, you felt bad.
You gotta commiserate with everybody.
Yeah, not bad enough to talk to the poor guy.
No, again.
But you felt bad.
If they lose, I want to be alone.
Yeah. Coming up next. Everyone's favorite part of the WIP afternoon shows the top five of five. Jack, what do we have coming up?
What we have today.
Yeah.
It's Stockwatch.
Oh, Stockwatch.
Oh, Stockwatch.
Okay.
On WIP personnel after the weekend.
Oh.
Wow. I'm surprised you didn't go Phillies.
Well, we played highlights all show.
Okay,
you know.
Okay.
It's only game two of the NLDS. Like,
My bad.
I was going to crush him because I thought he was going to do a top five moments from yesterday, and I was ready to go, Jack, we've been playing those all day.
I know.
But he stepped up with Stockwatch.
Okay.
All right. So that is next on the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.